Welcome to Growing Up Skywalker. My name is Anna.
And I'm Sam.
Today, we are doing one of the most fabulous arcs in the Clone Wars that I've ever watched. It is fantastic. It's the Ahsoka and Youngling arcs. It's the Ahsoka and Younglings arc, part one, the Clone Wars season 5, episodes 6 and 7, The Gathering and A Test of Strength. And we have two absolutely amazing guests with us today.
Including a youngling.
Yes, it's me, the geeky dad, Raphael Moran, and my amazing, beautiful daughter, Ariana, who we call the Multiverse Kid.
Yeah.
Welcome to Growing Up Skywalker. We're so happy to have you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on your show, guys.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. All right, we're going to quickly go through the plot, and then we're going to talk all about the Ahsoka and Younglings arc with our favorite youngling, Ariana. Okay, so we begin with the gathering, the fortune cookie, he who faces himself finds himself. And we're starting off strong. The propaganda reel for this episode has the scene of Plo Koon offering his hand to tiny baby Ahsoka, and I was just already in tears.
She's basically just eyes at that point.
Just big eyes and two baby little Montrals. I'm dying. Then we move straight into the beginning of this episode. It is a code red. I repeat, we have a code red. There is a tiny baby Wookiee Jedi in this episode. I'm crying. I would die for him. His name is Gunji. I love him so much. So we're opening, and there are all of these baby Jedi running up to Ahsoka, you know, like ducklings behind their mom, because it is time for them to build their lightsabers. So our babies are Petro, who is a human, Gnodi, who is a Rodian, Biff, who is an Ithorian, Katooni, who is a Thalothian, kind of like Adi Gallia.
Yeah.
Then we also have Zat, who is a Nautilin.
Like Kit Fisto.
And Gunji, who is my baby Wookiee friend that I love so dearly.
And Biff the Ithorian, for those of you who are wondering if you can name your kids after him, that's Biff with a Y and a PH.
Yeah, so. Unexpected PH action. So they're all going with Ahsoka to the planet of Ilum, a sacred Jedi planet, very cold, very snowy. They get to a cliff face and they all stretch out their hands and they unlock their super secret Jedi door and they enter a temple where Master Yoda is waiting.
Chilling.
Because they are about to embark on their very own gathering of the kyber crystals that are going to be the hearts of their lightsabers. So Yoda uses the Force to spin this prism and the ceiling around, and he focuses the sunrise on it, and he melts this frozen waterfall, revealing a door to a crystal cave. And the gambit is that all of the younglings are on a time crunch. They have to go into the crystal cave, and then they have to find their crystal and get out before the waterfall freezes over again.
And as soon as they go in, Zat, who's the computer science guy, figures that it'll be frozen for 19 days before the sun comes up again.
Yeah, I want to make it very clear that the waterfall starts refreezing immediately. Mm-hmm. So from now until the end of the episode, I had this ticking time bomb in my head and just crazy anxiety, and it was a lot. So they get inside. Petro skedaddles off on his own. Later losers, deuces, and the rest of them are like, you're a jerk. We're going to split up. We're going to stay in groups. They get to an intersection and they split up, except baby Biff has to go alone and he is very scared and I love him so much. So they each start to be drawn to their particular crystal. Sometimes it's by sound. Sometimes it's because it flashes only for them. Petro finds his first, but when he gets back to the lobby, it melts. He literally picked up an ice cube. And then they all have a moment where they have to trust themselves and trust in the Force to find their crystal. So Katooni has to climb a cliff. She's afraid of heights. Gunji has to find patience to wait for these ice flows in an ice lake to freeze again so he can walk across it. Biff has to go find his crystal from the mouth of kind of what looks like one of those war caterpillars from the Umbara arc. He's afraid of monsters.
Which is fair.
Fair. Gnody is surrounded by so many crystals that she can't even pick one. She doesn't know which one to pick. And Zat gets so frustrated that he and his little Game Boy can't locate the Kyber crystal that he starts banging it on a sheet of ice. And then lo and behold, it's literally right behind the sheet of ice.
So they all overcome their obstacles, except for Petro, who's running very late, and Katuni.
Finally, it's just Petro and Katuni. Katuni has gotten trapped behind a sheet of ice. She's literally a few feet from the door, so she can see the door, and Petro won't help her. He can't take the time to help her because he hasn't found his crystal yet. So he runs away from her. He's kind of spinning in a circle. And then he finally decides, I can't leave my friend. He comes back for her. They press their palms up against the sheets of ice. And together, they use the force and they shatter it. Katuni is free. She sprints to the door. She gets under the waterfall just as it's freezing shut. And then Petro sees something glittering in the ice sheet that they cracked together. So the door closes. Everyone is losing their minds. And then Petro bursts through with a war cry. It is a total Jedi move. They all made it. And they all learned a lesson that they needed to learn in order to become greater than themselves. So Biff learned courage. Gnody learned to hope. Gunji learned patience. Zat learned trust. Katuni learned confidence. And Petro learned how to be selfless.
And they all learned a lesson from Yoda, because Yoda, they said, but Master Yoda, you said we'd be trapped in there. He's like, trapped by your mind. Ice is just water made solid. You can break through it. You were trapped by your mind.
And then they all did it. And they're all young Jedi. And I literally cried so hard. It was the best. It was the best. Sam, what happens in a test of strength?
So now it's to the next step of building these lightsabers. So now that they have their lightsaber crystals, they're super proud, and they're aboard their ship, and they meet Master Hu Wang, who is a droid.
An extremely sassy droid.
Very sassy, and who has, as the architect and lightsaber designer, contains the knowledge of every lightsaber ever built, and every Jedi who's wielded them in every lightsaber battle. And is showing them all of the ways to put together a lightsaber. And he's describing, like, he reaches out to Gunji and says, think about, describe your perfect lightsaber and how it represents your people.
And then Gunji is like, mine's made out of wood. Oh, the best.
Yeah. And so then Hu Wang goes and like rifles through all these drawers and pulls out the exact right pieces. And so then he's training them how to make their lightsabers.
Because they have to do it themselves. They have to use the force to construct their own lightsabers.
So there's a bunch of little kids who are using the force to hold up like the 25 or 30 pieces of a lightsaber as they align them and then shove them together into a lightsaber. Petro, of course, gets his done first, and then he hands it to Master Hu Wang, and Hu Wang's like, if you turn this on, it'll explode.
The only thing you're killing with this is yourself.
So Petro still has to learn his lesson, but he's very excited to challenge Obi-Wan Kenobi to a lightsaber duel. Meanwhile, pirates attack. Hondo Ohnaka in his UFO is flying nearby, and he says, Kyber crystals are priceless, and I'll be able to, you know, just capture this ship full of younglings, take their Kyber crystals, bounce, it'll be great. Ahsoka runs off, sees that it's Hondo, and decides that I need to keep these kids safe. So she sends the kids down into the pirates start boarding. They send off a big boarding tube. They spear the ship. They've disabled it. So they're hiding in the ventilation ducts under the floor. She sends off Zat and Katuni.
Right? Gnody.
Gnody to the cockpit to meet with R2 and come up with a plan. She sends the rest of them with Master Hu Wang, who has taken all of the lightsaber crystals, save Petro's.
Because Petro's a jabroni, and he only pretended to throw his in with the rest of the crew, but he kept it.
He puts it in a little heart chamber for him, because that's what robots have, which is very cool. And there, all these younglings are running through the air ducts underneath, trying to escape to the cargo hold where they can seal it off and be safe. Ahsoka's plan is she's going to go to the engine room. She's going to restart the engines with Zat and Genodi's help. She's going to scooch the ship away and let the gantry way in between the pirate ship rip open and suck all the pirates out.
It's very alien.
It's a scary plan. So it's going off really well until Hondo Ohnaka decides to be like, you guys are dumb. They're in the air ducts. Of course they're in the air ducts. And the pirate's like, oh yeah, I guess they are.
So Genodi and Zat do make it to the cockpit. One pirate does spot them, but R2 is the best babysitter ever and like zaps him and they shove him out into the hallway. But the pirates smoke out the rest of them.
They throw smoke grenades all over the floor and the kids have to come up coughing and they get caught by the one big pirate. Petro puts his lightsaber together and Katooni's like, you realize that the emitter's still backwards. And he winks at her and then shakes a little bit and lets himself get disarmed by the big pirate. And then
and then throws it at them.
He taunts the big pirate into turning it on. And it does, in fact, explode. It knocks over all the pirates. And the younglings run off, but they're very sure that they're going to have to stay and fight. Master Huang is shot. His head is shot clean off and he gets into a karate fight with some of the pirates.
So here's what they did. So the younglings lured some of the pirates into the training room and they like sicked all of the little lightsaber practice orbs on some of the pirates, but they got blocked before they could get to the hold. So Master Huang is like, I've lived on this ship for 1,000 years and I've never lost a fight. So it's very Monty Python. His arms are sliced off. His head is sliced off.
He does win the fight.
He does win the fight.
So they take all of his parts and they all eventually run off. But they are only able to escape from Hondo because Ahsoka, after having fixed the engines, comes by, defends them. And she's now defending and pushing the pirates back to closer to the airlock so that when they pull ahead, they'll all get sucked out. So they start the engines. They start moving.
Zat calls. He's like, yeah. Okay, I can do it. And Ahsoka's like, okay, do it. So she's dueling the pirates. They break the ship away. They open up the vacuum. All of the pirates are getting sucked out into space. Ahsoka is using the force to like fling pirates out into the galaxy.
She's finally standing there, having kicked Hondo Ohnaka back into his ship. She's closing the door and waiting for it to close. Zat calls ahead from the cockpit and says, what do we do? And she says, go to hyperspace. We're good. We're free.
And then a pirate comes from behind and bodies her.
Yeah, it's not on purpose. He's just flying through the atmosphere and he hits her and knocks them both into Hondo's ship.
And then Zat hits hyperspace. They zoom off. And now Ahsoka is a prisoner of Hondo Ohnaka,
who needs to make a profit from this venture somehow. So he's going to take it out of her.
And I have crazy anxiety, and this was also so delightful, and that was the plot of our episodes. I am dying to know, Ariana, Raphael, what did you guys think about these episodes?
It was, like, good. Like.
You like the new characters?
Yes. Yeah.
Let me guess, you like the girls, right? Yeah.
Of course I do.
Yeah. Okay. I like Gunji.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. I never even thought that, like, a Wookiee could
be a Jedi?
Yeah. Like,
anybody could be a Jedi.
It's, like, unusual.
It is. Master Huang says that. He says, I haven't seen a Wookiee in a long time. But then he actually has the exact right wood from a tree from Kashyyyk to make Gunji's lightsaber, which is very cool.
It's actually such a beautiful moment. He says to Gunji, you are rare. The Jedi, you know, must know that you're rare and your people must be so proud of you. And I was like, yes, everyone should be proud of this adorable baby Wookiee.
Yeah.
I mean, there is dark undertones because, you know, we don't really see these characters in the future, you know, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
We don't know what happens.
Yeah, you don't know if, you know, something happened to them.
I mean, Sam, you're more of an expert than I am. Do you know any of the, you know, extended universe stuff that talks about what happened to them?
No, these characters seem like they're one-offs, although that's an interesting point you bring up, because these episodes, all four of them, were first presented as one block on Star Wars Day, and they were supposed to be the elements of them are taken from a pilot, which failed, to make a Younglings show.
Yeah, like a spinoff series.
I would have liked to see that.
Yeah.
So if you'd made a spinoff series, yeah. And we do know a lot of people who were Padawans during this time period, or Younglings even, who are alive 20, 30 years later. It's not that many, though. And the ones who are close in with the Jedi Temple, like these ones presumably are, maybe, maybe not. This also came up in the arc, the Wookiee Lost arc.
The Ahsoka Hunted arc, where we meet some other Force-sensitive younglings, yeah.
Yeah. So it's tough to think of being a youngling who all of a sudden you're in such a tough situation.
Yeah, I had so much empathy for these younglings because we saw at the end of season 3, the Ahsoka Hunted arc, where she's stranded on this, you know, deserted planet and being hunted down for sport. And we have these Force-sensitive younglings, Jinx and Omer. And I remember being a little frustrated with them because they had given up and they weren't really using the Force to help their situation. But these younglings that we see in the Ahsoka and the Younglings arc that we're discussing, they really seem so young. And I had a lot of empathy. Just they were literally doing their best as these babies.
Right.
They're
not really babies, though.
They're
more like your age.
Yeah,
I think they were a little younger than Ariana, maybe.
Yeah, they're like 8, 9, 10, it seems like.
She's 10.
I'm 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would be like the Katooni of this situation.
Of course.
Yay!
Of course. Now, do you think they trained with Baby Yoda?
Good question. I have my own secret theory about Baby Yoda that I'm saving for 150 episodes from now when we talk about that. But the main thing is, I mean,
that secret might come out.
Yeah, maybe. Well, so we know that Chewbacca is like 200 years old, right?
Right.
And so how old is Gungi? I mean, maybe he's a youngling because he's still small, but maybe he's like 30.
You're right.
So
he could be like 50, like Grogu.
Yeah. Exactly. And so it doesn't like make huge sense because a lot of creatures will grow over time. I'm actually thinking this is a really weird aside, but Tyrannosaurus Rexes, a full-size Tyrannosaurus Rex was like 35, 40 years old. Mm. And they actually filled all the different roles in their ecosystem as they went through different sizes. Because like a small predator, like a coyote or a fox eats like rodents. And then like a wolf will eat deer. And a bear will eat, you know, elk and ant and moose. So moving through that is like a different life phase. Maybe that's Grogu or maybe that's a Wookiee.
Sam, you're always filled with so much good facts.
He is our resident facts machine.
Yeah. Fact machine. All right, I'll take it.
So what I loved about these episodes was that whenever Star Wars kind of veers into this mystical territory, I'm so into it.
I love seeing the Jedi, like, you know, how they train and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, like, that's like the cool parts.
Yeah, you don't get to see that in live action in the movies much.
Well, a little bit. There's elements of this type of thing when Luke is on Dagobah, right? The whole, like, you enter a space.
Right?
Yeah, the cave. You enter a space and it reflects on you. And it seems like that's what a crystal would be.
I kind of want to see how, like, Anakin did this trial.
Yeah.
Okay, I was thinking that Anakin is so cavalier about just dropping his lightsaber and losing lightsabers. And I was like, if this is what you have to go through to make a new lightsaber, like, I would beat him about the head and shoulders.
Right.
This is a lot of work to remake a lightsaber.
Yeah, I mean, I think we see a little bit of this in Rebels as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, spoiler. That's like a whole different story. So there's like a bunch of different ways for a lightsaber to gain a crystal, but they all ended up doing one thing in common, right? Which is to focus on the Force.
Right.
Once they all took like a meditative aspect, they learned.
But we never actually saw Luke make his lightsaber.
We did not. That all happened off screen.
Except for that deleted scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I don't know if that counts.
I don't think that really does. Well, it does.
Yeah.
So there was something really fun. I actually got to be on the Geeky Dad podcast with Ariana and with Raphael.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I asked you if you had a lightsaber, what color lightsaber would you have? And there was something so cool that we found out in these episodes, which is that the kyber crystals didn't really have a color until the younglings picked up their crystal and then it turned a special color for them.
Right, right. When we were watching this episode originally, because this is probably the second time we've seen it, when we saw that part where it's like a little bit dark and like Sith-like, mm-hmm. I thought that maybe that character was going to turn to the dark side and we'd probably see that happen.
Yeah, Daddy thought that like...
Yeah, originally.
I didn't think that though. Daddy thought that.
What did you think, Ariana?
I thought it was just, you know, whatever.
Nobody saw any like evil things though. I thought that was a little bit wonky, you know?
Was that Biff when he was trying to find his crystal?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was such a beautiful story of like confronting your fears. And even when you're alone, like you have the strength within you to, I saw like the light side version, right?
Right. Right. So at this point, Master Yoda is how old?
So in Return of the Jedi, he's like 900 years old. And this is like 25 years before that. So he's at least 850.
A cool 875.
Yeah.
So Master Huang is older than Yoda.
Yes.
So he probably helped create the lightsaber for Mr. Yoda too.
Cool.
Probably. So that means that he dates back to the High Republic era, which there's books and comic books out of right now, which is very cool.
Or Knights of the Old Republic.
Not that old. I actually am just finished. So first of all, that's not canon, any of that that happened.
I know, but I heard it might.
Yeah, well, parts of it are. And in fact, the Ithorians, which is what Biff is, are from that video game originally.
Mm.
And it's funny that we've reached in this episode and the last episode with Onderon, a whole bunch of things which are taken from Knights of the Old Republic. And that shows how the way the expanded universe has turned into canon, right?
Yeah. And some future episodes will go more into that as well.
Yeah, we're really getting to the exciting part of season 5 here. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah. You know, another thing is, for a droid, is that the first droid that doesn't have a number designation?
Let's see. In the Baby Boba and Asajj Ventress arc, when they're in the Underdark, there's Highsinger.
There's also in the Holocron arc with Cad Bane, he has a droid.
Toto 360.
Oh, okay.
But that it's T-O-D-O. Yeah.
Right. But it's very rare to have a droid like that, right?
Yes. Although in the exact previous arc, we had a droid General Kalani.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
What a super spooky voice.
It does make them feel more like a real character, though, when they don't have a number designation.
Yeah.
Another thing. There was, I know there was an EU story about a droid having some kind of force sensitivity.
Yeah, I've heard like things about that. And I know in the Dr. Aphra stories, there's some really weird droid. There's like force ghosts that inhabit things.
So do you think that droid has some force sensitivity to it?
Okay. Here's my secret theory.
The Sam Nilsson secret theory.
Okay, this is not up to that quite level. Huang, the droid, is voiced by David Tennant, the 10th Doctor.
Wow!
I got it right away.
Yeah.
So
like, yeah?
Yeah.
So I think it's actually Doctor Who.
What?
turned into a Dalek and then sent to the Star Wars universe and now helps out kids. Yeah, or
you never know.
Or
there are varying levels of quality in the Sam Nilsson secret theories, and I think this is of inferior quality.
This is down there with Darth R2 and Darth Jar.
Not Darth Jabba.
Yeah. Well, so in the actually, so because I'm on my second back-to-back playthrough of Knights of the Republic 2, you listen to all of your squad mates and hear their thoughts to gain your force powers and to do things. And it's noted that you don't hear from your droids, that the droids do not have a force presence. But what's interesting about that is something that's explored a little bit in, I believe, the sixth season, and a little bit also with what Qui-Gon talks about a lot and in the Mortis arc, is the difference between the cosmic force and the living force.
Ooh.
So the living force inhabits all living things, and the cosmic force inhabits all things ever. So, like, you can't pull information from, like, you can't have be a force ghost as part of the living force, but you can be a force ghost as part of the cosmic force. And you generally can't transfer between one or the other, but that would mean that a droid would be part of the cosmic force because they're made of things.
We got a lot of really interesting, approachable lore in these arcs, and I think a lot of it was about the force. There's something really beautiful that Master Professor Huang says when
Dr.
Huang, when he's teaching them like build a lightsaber class, and he says, "What will make you strong in battle and humble in retreat? What connects you to your force?" And I'd never heard anyone talk about the force like that, like your personal pool of force energy.
And that's what Yoda says about how like the lightsaber works. It's a reflection of your inner force.
I kind of want to know, like, how did they decide to pick a droid to do this? Was it like originally a Jedi that started making this teaching?
I mean, that's a really interesting question. But if you imagine, if you want some sort of being which will keep like architectural and engineering designs in memory for thousands of years, there's not many sentient creatures which will be able to do that. Even though Jabba, for example, is like 1200 years old, he probably knows all the grudges of people, but he probably doesn't have like the mind for engineering behind it.
I'm curious, Ariana, if you picked up on the like Ollivander's wand shop vibes when they're picking out Lena from Harry Potter.
Yeah. Did it feel like Harry Potter, like the wand shop?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I would love to see a Jedi versus wizard.
Pretty scary. We do get someone, I think Petra does say, like, that's so wizard. And I was like, hey, I know that line.
Yes, you caught that.
Yes. Yeah, you caught that. I told you.
Yeah. Mando.
So first, like, Anakin said it, and then... No, Petra said it, and then Mando said it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like three people who said
it. That's a really old slang that's been sticking around in Star Wars, huh?
Well, I mean, people have been saying things are cool since the 1920s.
Really?
Yeah, so.
Really?
Yeah.
That's before you're born.
That's before we were just all
little,
born.
Just a little bit.
Just a couple little bit, years. Right? Yeah. She knows how to make me feel young.
So I was interested in like the Jedi school kind of nature of these arcs, because Ahsoka, when she gets her crew of younglings, she says, "You're at the top of your class. It's time for the gathering." And I was like, what happens if you're not at the top of your class? Like, will they flunk you out of Jedi school?
Right.
Yeah, it's like weird.
Did those become Inquisitors, maybe?
Seriously?
Well, we know in the High Republic books that there are people who drop out of being Jedi. We know Count Dooku was a Jedi for a long time and ceased being.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I think you see it like in a movie.
Yeah. And then in some other works, there's people who are just like not that strong in the Force. And if you're not that strong in the Force and you kind of like, I don't know, work with the Jedi to be under some sort of parole, where you're like, I don't want to, I'm not going to cause any problem. I'm not going to learn how to do force lightning. I just want to fly a space freighter in peace. They'll probably let you.
Just seems crazy because they rip you away from your family when you're 4 years old. And then they're like, actually, I don't think you're going to cut it. And then how do you like matriculate out of Jedi school?
Yeah, yes. Like so sad. They just pull you away. And then if you like flunk, it's like weird.
I think Obi-Wan was just like a couple of months old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. They normally get them when they're under two.
Wow.
Yeah. How can a baby know anything, though? That's the thing.
I mean, Raiden thought, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, our her baby brother, my son, who is just like under three, when he saw Yoda on the screen,
he thought it was Grogu.
Ah! Oh my gosh!
That's funny.
Well, I mean, they say, Grogu! It's Grogu!
Different generations of Star Wars fans, yeah, man.
Everyone else went the opposite direction.
Right.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, you know.
Wow. So, Ariana, you would be one of these younglings. Like, if you were a Jedi school, this would be your journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got your lightsaber recently, too, right?
I mean, I got it for my birthday. It's like three lightsabers, one red, one green, and one blue.
You got the green, right?
Yes, because, you know.
They didn't have hot pink, I guess.
Right, yeah.
And Rayan, of course, he wanted blue. I would have took blue for his first pick, but
you know, I'd be interested to see what how does the Sith do their
probably the same thing, but much more intense
sword making.
Well,
thing.
Actually, what the Sith do? So by default, the lightsabers are if you just run the energy to the crystal, it's silver or white, and then when you put your force energy into it as a Jedi, it gains a color. If you take that force energy out of it, it becomes silver. And if you take the life energy of a Jedi through it using the force, it becomes red. So in order to make a red lightsaber, you have to take a Jedi, kill them, and use the and bring their life energy through a lightsaber.
I think that was in a recent Darth Vader comic book.
Yep.
But do the Sith have to enter this crystal cave on Ilum?
No, they have to beat a Jedi in combat.
So this is like the one-stop shop, the only place in the galaxy you can get kyber crystals for a lightsaber?
It is not. There's other places.
No,
I don't think so.
No.
Well, we know in Rogue One that there's kyber crystals there.
Yeah.
On Jedha.
That planet, that whole planet.
Yeah,
right?
On Jedha. And then Ilum has a bunch of them and a few others. Interestingly, in the 2002 2D Clone Wars, there's a scene on Ilum, which is the planet of lightsaber crystals, with Yoda and Padme. And Yoda has to run across the snow and beat up a bunch of droids.
What?
And Padme helps him. It's
wow.
It's a fun little one.
That is delightful. We never get to see Padme and Yoda together.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Do you think Padme had like latent Jedi Force?
Well, so I'm of the theory that everyone in the Star Wars universe, and maybe everyone ever, has some connection to the Force. And some people have the Force connection such that they can use it to lift things up and use a lightsaber and shoot lightning out of their hands and go super fast. And some people have the luck to get out of getting shot down and are exceptional pilots, like Poe and Han
Dameron.
Solo.
Right,
and then
right.
Some people might have an absolutely steadfast moral compass and be able to be a strong person, like Padme.
Right, right.
So,
well, you know, I remember in Attack of the Clones, a lot of folks online thought that she had some kind of force powers because remember there was a scene where she falls from the ship.
Mm-hmm.
The ground and just gets up like as nothing happens. Like she lands perfectly fine.
Well,
yeah,
that's on sand dunes though, and that's not so bad. There's a
still she landed perfectly fine.
It's like this is her. He's like, ah! I land perfectly fine like a cat.
Yeah, like a cat. Yeah.
So
you never know.
What I want to know from you guys is what thing do you think you'd have to overcome to find your crystal?
Hmm.
I got a lot of things.
Okay.
I got
what?
Fear of heights.
Oh boy.
courage, believing in myself,
bugs.
Patience, bugs.
Yeah, bugs.
Yeah. Let's see.
Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're scared of fire.
I mean, some of those are like being afraid of fire is just healthy.
Wood.
Wood?
Yes. She's scared she's going to get a splinter every time she touches wood.
Oh, that's okay. Valid.
So you're not borrowing Gunji's lightsaber?
No. she said that like when Gunji got it, he's going to get splinters.
I'm like, he's going to get splinters from that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, metal splinters, because it's the only wood that's as hard as metal. Yikes.
Yikes. Wow. Yeah.
Raphael, what would you have to overcome?
Oh, the loss of my children.
Oh, that's a very quintessential, like, we see this in Anakin's journey.
Yeah. Right?
Like, the loss of loved ones is his most powerful motivation.
Yeah. This is the origin story for Darth Geeky Dad right here.
Oh, no.
They say all the time that you're Anakin.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh.
You got to be careful.
I always tell my kids, I am your father. You know,
and then Ren is always like, oh, I'm Luke. So then I have to be Leia, even though I'm not really his twin.
You could be Han Solo.
I don't know about that.
You got to wait till she gets the keys to the car.
If you're Han Solo, then you get killed by your own son.
Oh, okay. That's a little too far. Are we going too far now?
Dark.
How about you, Anna? What would you have to overcome?
I've literally been sitting here trying to think about it. And like, I don't know how you symbolize like a crushing sense of failure. So I don't know.
I think that's what...
Failing!
Yeah. Well, that's what Gnoti had to work through, right? Because she was in a featureless room and she couldn't find her crystal and she completely fell apart emotionally. Then she fell through the floor, landed in a different room. And she was spoiled for choice. There were crystals everywhere, but there wasn't a right one for her.
Oh.
And to me, that is that like perfectionism, right? And that everything's either like terrible or there's too many choices and you get paralyzed and you don't get anything done.
And it's also like, here I am surrounded by this wealth of choices and I can't even pick one. Like, what's wrong with me that I can't even decide one path to follow to perfection? Like, being stuck in that liminal place is also scary. I'm going to have to think about it. Sam, what do you think yours would be?
Oh, I'm flawless.
He woke up like this.
There's no absolutes.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think fear. I've been in a long journey in my life, and I have like a healthy relationship with fear because my... Fun little history from my resume here. My first job out of college, I was finding bombs for a living. And
wow.
Yeah. And so like they get, yeah, like explosive bombs from a plane or from artillery shells or what have you. And
landmines?
Yes. Although they were, according to the military, never deployed in U.S. soil, but I definitely found some. But so I was doing this as part of remediation and cleanup. And The thing with fear for me like that is that if you step on a 2,000-pound bomb and it goes off, they send you home in an envelope. There's nothing to worry about. Your problems all instantaneously cease to exist.
Kind of like when Petro throws his janky lightsaber at you.
Yeah.
Right.
Although that's actually scarier is something that's like a small charge, like a 40-millimeter grenade on an underbarrel grenade launcher, because that's not going to kill you. It's just going to blow your leg off. And that,
and you still got all your limbs, right?
Yes, 10 and 10. Good to go. But I wonder if perhaps like fear of injury or fear of being crippled is something that comes to mind for me. I've been,
okay, I have that fear as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can't let it like overcome you, you know? It's just, it is scary to think of getting like permanent damage.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I wonder if I wonder if my test would be something where I had to like reach my hand through a jagged crystal cavern and just like tear my arm to shreds.
Yeah,
to
like in Dune.
Yeah, when, the pain box.
Yeah. Fascinating. Yeah. Oh, that's such a good one.
Or
you mean Dune where people have
spice and there's like a desert planet?
You mean the Dune that you watched?
Yeah, yeah. She didn't see Dune.
Oh, I was going to say, it's long and scary.
Great soundtrack.
Yeah. Great soundtrack.
There was a scene like that in Flash Gordon, too. Where he put his hand inside. Oh, you didn't see that one?
No. Is that before Dune or after? I'm interested.
I think that was in the 80s.
Okay, so after. Because Dune's from 1960, I believe.
It was a movie that was trying to capitalize on the popularity of Star Wars at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised you haven't seen that, Sam. I got to take a check off your geek card.
Ho-ho! High stakes.
I'm still at the top of that youngling class. I got
He's the zat in this situation.
For real.
That reminds me, I think it's about time for Baywatch. Is it time for Baywatch?
It can be. I gotta give a quick shout out to talk about Hondo as a pirate.
Okay, let's talk about Hondo.
So, I felt Hondo.
I love Hondo.
I love him too, but he was a jerk in this one, and Ahsoka called him out on it. She's like, last time I saw you, you were giving me a crate of missiles. That was like last week.
You were helping me finalize this revolution on Onderon. Why you were the hero.
We were friends. Why are we no longer friends? And he's like, it's just
you
profit.
Never know what you get when he's in an episode.
Yeah,
that's so good.
Yeah, and like when you see Hondo, he's like, he always like
he's always smiling too.
Yeah, and then and you can never trust him. You never know when it's gonna like double cross you.
Yeah,
it's what he says. He's like, you know, my mood changes every day, and today I'm in the mood for profit.
That is what he says.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been in the most shows that I've ever seen.
Yeah,
she hasn't Rebels.
Okay. Oh, he's fun in Rebels. Well, okay, that's all I had to say. And now we're ready for Baywatch.
It's time for Baywatch. It's time for Baywatch. Okay, Ariana, who is your bae this episode?
Well, it'd be Katooni.
Yeah. Oh, okay, tell us why.
Well, like, you know, I just kind of feel like her.
You feel like her?
Kind of.
Really?
Yes.
Fear of heights.
Yeah.
When boys are acting out in front of you, you laugh at them because they're being silly.
Definitely.
I also think Katooni was kind of the leader of the group, don't you think? Like, she was very gentle. Yeah. She was team oriented, but she was making sure that everyone got where they needed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And she's a girl. That's why you picked her. That's exactly why you picked her.
We can never have enough amazing Star Wars girls. Like, there's not enough people in the galaxy to have enough amazing Star Wars women.
You know, one thing you guys forgot to mention, okay? Ahsoka's winter clothes was back again.
All the kids had the coolest parkas.
Amazing.
I'm trying to get Anna into the Youngling and Jedi parka collection.
I'm into this. I'm willing.
I bought you one and you never wear it.
Hey, you got a lot of snow there, so, you know.
For today. How about you, Raphael?
Well, you know, I like me a Wookiee, so I like Gungi, all right? I like Gungi. Anything with Gungi, I'm good with.
Yes!
Weird for Gungi. I don't know what happened to Gungi. I hope he settled down, maybe got married, had some kids.
Always the happily ever after with you.
Yes.
Even with Boba Fett. If you see the Boba Fett episode, you see... He's gonna adopt Mando, and he's gonna... And the Ranger's gonna be a dog in a doghouse!
Yeah. That's what I wanted.
And he's gonna marry Fennec Shen.
Well, I want that to happen too. Yeah.
Did you identify with Gungi's trial of patience?
Yes. Yes, because I'm very impatient.
Mm. Me too. And Rayon. And Raiden. Like everyone in our family.
It's a family trait.
Yeah.
I loved that moment when we see Gungi, like, and he has accepted because he learned from Gunnoti. Gunnoti was like, you're just going to have to wait for the ice to freeze over, and then you're going to have to move really fast. And he does that thing that the Jedi do that I love, which is that he sat down and he meditated. You know how Qui-Gon in The Phantom Menace is fighting Maul, and he gets separated from Maul by the laser shield, and he just sits and he meditates, like, in the middle of this sword fight. And I always think that is the absolute coolest thing that the Jedi do.
Now, is Gungi technically the first naked Jedi?
Ooh.
No. I mean, there's been Wookiee Jedi before in the High Republic books.
Oh.
And also, according to Hugh Wang, there's been several. And I'm sure that there's other species that are just like, I don't need clothes. I'm...
That's like weird.
Clothes are weird.
We've never seen a Wookiee without hair, right?
Correct.
I don't think I want to see a Wookiee without hair.
Yeah, I think it would be like, you know, weird.
Well, I don't know.
I think it'd be weird. I'm with you.
those are the things I think about.
This is something I don't need in my life.
Yeah, weird.
Ariana, how do you put up with this guy?
That's how she learns patience.
Oh, and she loves him. Sam, who's your bae?
You know, I'm thinking about it. It's got to be one of the younglings because this is the only time we get to see them. And they're all really cool. And I'm going to go with Gunnoti.
Oh.
Because Gunnoti is the one who she's walking with Katuni and looks up and says, oh, I don't see that crystal. I'm just going to go do my own. I'm going to go on my own. But good luck. And I totally trust you. Gunnoti is part of all of the little schemes, and she's the trustworthy one who's sent with Zat to go to the cockpit. I think Gunnoti is the one who has the most relatable problems to me, that combination of perfectionism and choice paralysis that for me leads to like this emotional whirlwind where I'm like, if only this, if only that, if only this, if only that, and then I'd be fine. And it's a circle. It's always a circle. And so I, if I had more money, I could quit my job. And if I had a better job, I would have more money. So it's like, how do these things work? And Gunnoti is the one who had to learn that lesson, but was also able to help everyone else with their lessons. And that's something I identify with as well.
She was a very selfless person, and you are also a very selfless person.
It's funny. I've been going through a process in my life where I look deeply back on it and my relationships with others. And I have learned a lot about selflessness in the last 5 years or so. And Petro learned it in an afternoon and I learned it in 5 years, but
Petro has a little bit more work to be done.
He does. I don't think Petro's ending up on Baywatch. I'm gonna be honest. But Anna, there's still time.
No, I'm continuing the tradition. I have a different youngling who is my bae. My bae is Zat.
Zat's great.
Zat is great. I so love that he started the first episode just with his head buried in his Game Boy, right? And his technical device. And then he got frustrated and that could have really ruined things for him, right? But instead he chose to like look beyond this fit of frustration that he had and realize that everything that he needed was right there. And I think that's a lesson for my life, is that when I get frustrated, if I can just take the time to look around, everything I need is right there, right? If I just have the wherewithal to grab it. And he was the one that Ahsoka picked to go with Gunnoti and take over the cockpit, which is what allowed them to get away from Hondo Onaka's pirates. So he is also trustworthy.
Also, Zat, like Short Round, needs, you know, boxes to reach the pedals of the starship.
Also, Zat is going to grow up and be just as handsome as Kit Fisto. And I love that for him. Maybe. So
Kit Fisto spends 25 to 30 hours a day in the gym to get that bod.
I have faith. I think Zat could do it.
It's got
Mike. He does a lot of swimming. Good cardio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So everyone gets a Baywatch except for Petro, which I think is fair.
We missed a few. We missed Biff.
Oh, we did miss Biff. Oh, I love him so much.
I would have picked Huang, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've lived on this ship for 1,000 years and never once lost a fight. I'm not going to start today. And that is punctuated with a period. He's not like exclaiming that. It's not his battle cry. He's just like, Not today.
And I love anytime I get David Tennant, it's fine with me.
Yes, he is fantastic in everything he's ever done.
How about that other amazing Huang line, which is like, oh, do you know how to awaken the force and create this lightsaber? No? Okay, well then how about you be quiet until you ask me a question that I can't answer for you? Yes. And I'm like, yes,
that is that is great.
Now, I wonder, what do you think happened to Huang?
I mean,
in the future,
we'll find out at the end of this episode or this arc what happens to him in the near term. I'd imagine that moving forward, he'd be viewed as a significant artifact of the Jedi Temple, which means that unfortunately, he's probably going to end up in a certain somebody's collection.
Right. He's kind of like Jocasta Nu, an archivist.
Yeah.
Right. Do you think they built more than one droid to do this? Because there's like thousands of Jedi. You can't train on everybody.
Depends on how long this process takes, right? Like if it's a 2-week process in and out, moving 6 ahead, you can do You could do quite a few per year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And it depends on how many Jedi you think there are and also how long they live, right? So Yoda only had to do this once 800 years ago.
Ahsoka, I guess, had to do it twice because she is a Shoto blade now.
That's true.
Right. Yeah. They never showed that, how she got it, right?
Right.
Yeah, but perhaps after the first time, when you've learned like how to identify and resonate with a crystal and you know how to make a lightsaber because you already have a lightsaber, that might be an easier part of it. Maybe you pick up a crystal from a friend who fell in battle or something and honor it.
Right. Yeah. What does happen when a Jedi dies and his lightsaber is there, though?
No, I mean, it obviously depends on the circumstances, but who knows? It's
well, maybe
it's loot for the next person to come
back.
Maybe like
when the Jedi goes to his grave or something, he just stays with them or something.
Qui-Gon, what did they do with Qui-Gon's blade, you think?
I don't think fire could destroy the crystal, so I don't think they cremate or bury Jedi with their lightsaber. So I think they turn into heirlooms or they get passed down to the next Jedi who needs one, kind of like how, you know, Maz Kanata has a lightsaber to pass on to Rey.
Probably. Or they send it to General Grievous. Just Well, we want to give you guys time to talk about the Geeky Dad, so tell us all about it. And the Multiverse Kids.
For the folks that are listening to the show, Anna was on our show, and it was a fun time. We talked about Clone Wars, and it was one of our pretty popular episodes.
I think. It was my birthday episode.
Right.
Woohoo!
That's what's important.
Me and my daughter and my son, we talk about a new geeky item, and we have fun. And sometimes we have a guest.
Yeah. Sometimes. But not like all the time.
Right. Yeah. And Anna was one of our favorite guests on the show.
Ah, it was so fun. So what topics have you covered recently?
Well, we are going to do the Chip and Dale movie.
Yeah. Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Yeah, it makes no sense, really. They should have just put Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers the movie because it's like two things.
Yeah. And of course, we're going to cover Obi-Wan. You guys are probably too young to watch Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, right?
Actually, no, I'm not. But that's due to weird circumstances.
I am too young. That is before my time, as it were.
But it's a pretty funny movie.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah.
We understood it because we like saw the show.
I let them watch all the old cartoons. Okay. All of the old DuckTales. And the new DuckTales, you know, and went to some of the old Star Wars shows like Droids and Ewoks.
You showed up.
I haven't let you see the Caravan of Courage yet.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah. Soon.
Someday.
Feel like you guys also do a lot of Marvel content. So you just did Moon Knight, right?
Yes, we did Moon Knight.
The last episode of Moon Knight we did for the Mother's Day episode.
Yeah.
Fun. On the show, she like talked about like Egyptian stuff, you know.
Yeah, because she was a anthropology major. She's into Egyptian stuff.
Oh,
she was our expert, you know.
Yeah, she was our guest.
Yeah.
The whole time, because it's our mom, even though we live with her.
Now, technically, Anna was our very first female guest on the show.
That is an honor, and that makes a lot of sense because we literally did gush about Star Wars Women for like an hour and a half, so that is perfect.
So you have that honor right there.
And then, Raphael, you also have the Geeky Dad After Dark for some of our more discerning audiences, right?
The kids don't know about that. Don't tell them.
We're going to close that chapter. All right.
Well, you know, we talk about the movies that we can't watch with the kids on that show.
Yeah.
You know. And there's a lot of content out there. So a lot of times the kids can't watch everything.
It's like after we go to sleep for our bedtime, they probably just watch some like rated R movie. Then when Raiden's asleep, they just go to the multiverse chamber.
Yeah. That's what we do.
See? Yeah. I got it absolutely correct.
You know, that's the story of my childhood, too. My parents used to go to the grocery store and rent two videotapes. And one of them would be for us kids, and one of them would be for the adults. And as we got older, we would get to be upgraded to watching the adult movie, but only on the second night, because we'd rent them for two nights.
Right.
And so then we could, if you, once you were grown up, you could watch it.
You know, I think, for some reason, kids in the 80s were different. I know so many people, including myself, we all watch R-rated movies with our parents.
I learned about that when we were watching
when we were talking about the 80s episode.
Christmas.
I watched RoboCop when I was like, I think I was 6 or 7 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's R-rated?
That's pretty R-rated, yeah.
That's very R-rated.
And I think I saw all the Friday the 13th movies growing up.
Gosh.
Wow. I saw Jurassic Park when I was like 9 and it scarred me for life.
My first R-rated movie was True Lies, and it's still great.
Yeah.
Still a fantastic
Never
movie.
Forget your first.
Yeah. Well, this was super fun, and we're going to take us out. Next episode, we're watching the finishing of this arc, which is Bound for Rescue and A Necessary Bond.
So that is the Clone Wars Season 5, Episodes 8 through 9. We're going to finish up the Ahsoka and Younglings arc. It'll be Part 2. Very excited to get some relief from this cliffhanger that still has some heart palpitations.
We might watch them tonight.
Yeah.
And check out The Geeky Dad wherever you get your podcasts. And send this to someone who is learning a lesson about lightsaber making.
That is a very specific audience. Send this to someone who has recently overcome something that was really hard for them.
Aww.
Yeah.
And as always, you can find us on growingupskywalker.com. You can find us on social media at growingupskywalker. And if you want more Skywalker, you can become one of our patrons, because we are on Patreon at growingupskywalker. And we'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.